You're, I'm LJ.
What's cracking, y'all? It's Stevie Nicks.
And we're Knicks fans.
And welcome to Knicks Anonymous.
Myself, and I think we see Willis coming out.
Fast break to Walt Frazier. Frazier then slows it down. It's picked up by Jerry West at the top of the post. Three.
We know differently. Here's David Stern with the announcer.
First pick, select Patrick Ewing.
Bernard looking for 50, and he's got it. Back to back 50 point games for Bernard King.
Anthony for three.
Johnson cuts left, now fires a three, it is good, and he's fouled! It counts, and he is fouled!
Barrett drives down, and this time finishes with authority.
Yeah, what is going on, New York? Welcome back to another episode of...
Knicks Anonymous.
Episode...
80 Deuce.
82. This is a special episode because today is none other than
New Year's Day. It's 2023, officially.
New Year's Day, baby. We saw y'all last year, so now we saw you this year.
I mean, we saw them every, well, not every year, but for the past few years. Yeah, we've seen y'all.
Hope everybody had a very safe New Year's. Hope everybody got lit. Hope I had some good resolutions. I got my resolutions. Stevie, what's one of your resolutions, if you have one?
To get in better shape.
Get in better shape, okay.
Even though I am in good shape, but you can always get better.
That's what's up. That's a good message. That's a great message you got there. My resolution is... I'm not even going
to
lie.
To make the show better.
Okay, you know what? That's my resolution. Knicks Anonymous to the moon. Clap it out. Knicks Anonymous to the moon, baby. So, Knicks fans would actually say it wasn't a good New Year's. A lot of people are very distraught and in disarray for how the season has gone so far. But before we even get into that, Stevie, give us what the people need. Social medias, please.
Sure thing. Follow us on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous. Follow us on Twitter. We had to get a new Twitter handle, unfortunately. LJ, what is that again? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oh my God. Listen. Whoever hacked us could really eat a... Oh my God.
Yeah, don't... We're trying to cut down on the cursing too, so let me stop you right there, man. But he can't eat that.
Yeah, man. Oh, that was sad, man. We really got hacked. RIP. But okay, so it's Knicks. I'm going to put it in the description, but it's Knicks Anonymous with a Z.
Yeah, instead of an S, Knicks.
Knicks, yeah. Anonymous, yeah.
With a Z, yeah. So you can find us on Twitter at Knicks with a Z, Anonymous. TikTok as well, but we're not that active on TikTok. But, you know, you can still follow us there if you want.
Some gems there. Some gems still there.
Yeah, definitely. you can also catch us on our website, knicksanonymous.com.
Yo, yes, we are currently selling pins on the Knicks Anonymous site. Links will always be in the description down below. I will be playing the commercial as always. As of right now, I'm going to do that from now on. I'm going to just put the commercial here. So if you're on YouTube, you are now looking at the commercial. you saw the commercial, Stevie?
I did. It came out great. I was actually surprised at how it came out. I was like, wow. It was official. I like. But to end the social media thing, y'all could also find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, and Breaker.
Yes, sir. And shout out to Knicks Anonymous family again, if I hadn't already, as always. We are the people's voice, and we are nothing.
Without the people. Without you.
Without you, the beautiful people. As always, I got my Spreewell jersey, Knicks basketball on the back, Knicks hat, dumb. Stevie, no Knicks, man. Come on.
Well, I'm going to get the Knicks Anonymous pillow eventually. I just forgot about it. So for now, I'm just going to have to deal with Batman in Puerto Rico.
I represent. That's what's up. So before we have stepped into the New Year's, we were currently in the Texas Triangle. And we came out the Texas Triangle 1-3.
1-2.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1-2.
We should have been 3-0, but yeah, whatever. Things happen.
We had lost in the most historical way possible.
Well, at least against the Mavericks, we did.
The Mavericks.
I mean,
but look it. Okay, wait, wait. As bad as they did, I have prepared a speech. Very long, long speech that I think our fans need to hear.
Are you going to read it?
No, no. I have it already. I memorized it. I'm going to just go back and forth if I forget.
We're going to paraphrase.
I'm going to paraphrase because it's a lot.
Okay, okay.
But I feel like it's information that everybody needs to hear. So,
okay.
When I woke up this morning, I checked Twitter and I saw a post. I think it was the Knicks Wall. I don't know who it was. Shout out to Knicks Wall if it was. You got a free shout out if it wasn't. he said that we need to appreciate this team. And it made me wonder for a second. Well, not made me wonder. It's just like, yeah. You know what? I think people need to appreciate this team. Because I don't really like the one day on, one day off kind of thing. Like, it hurts. It hurts to lose. I'm not saying it's not okay to hurt when we lose. Especially when we lose in the most historical way possible. You know, that's not easy to swallow. So, I'm not telling you not to be hurt. I'm just saying, like, when we lose, that doesn't mean we have to fire everybody. That doesn't mean everybody has to get traded. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean death. You know, like, it doesn't mean any of that.
The sky is not falling if we lose a game, dude.
Right. So look it. So okay. I'm gonna read the statement. The Knicks, the New York Knicks, are not the worst team on the planet. We all know they're not the prettiest team on the planet either. It is extremely hard and it's extremely ugly to be a Knicks fan. I can agree to that. This is not something for casual fans to be in, especially if you want to get into the fan base. This is not for casuals. This is real shit. Damn it. I curse.
Okay.
Okay. So this is not something you could just, this is something you're born into. I feel like this is something that you were born and raised into. It's just a culture. You know, we have a very passionate fan base, but that I feel like our fan base needs to use that passion appropriately. If that makes sense. Like, they need to understand how to control, you know, their emotions a little bit. Which is strange because New York is supposed to be tough and gritty. But that's besides the point. So, respectfully, I have never met a fan base that actually cries and complains so much about a 500 seed team. When you're 500, that means you're neutral. Ups and downs. That goes both ways. So that means you're pretty much even. So there's really nothing to really complain about except maybe just, you know, finding things to upgrade and, you know,
basically getting better.
Just getting better, exactly. But like in a positive way. There's not like how can you move positively in a negative way? It doesn't make any sense. You can't move forward if you're stepping backwards. So, you know, it's kind of weird. So you know, the Knicks have done a lot of stuff to, you know, they have a lot of kinks to work out, you know, they're not perfect. But isn't that what development is all about? You know, working out the kinks, you know, and working things out. Isn't that what you want these players to do? You know, because in order to develop, you're going to have to fail. I'm sorry to tell you that. In order to develop, you're going to have to, you know, you got to learn. So when you have a young team like the New York Knicks, it's a lot of learning to be done. And the fact that we're 500, you know, They got to be learning. So, you know, so a lot of Knicks fans wanted Dolan to be out, right? We all remember Dolan, the good man, James Dolan. And now everybody wants him to come back. So the cycle here is that we always just fall into the same habits as Knicks fans, right? We just always tend to just hurt ourselves and impede our own progress. And I think it's also due to the fact that we focus on too much on other teams' developments and compare them to our own. Like, everybody can develop at different speeds and ways. You know, we don't always have to be at the top, you know, especially when we're developing. A key word, development. Everyone loves to use that word, but never really understands how, like, what it means. Everybody loves the word development. Stevie, how many times have you heard the word development ever since we've been on, you know, the Knicks Twitterverse?
Too much.
If you could, if
too
you had,
damn much. And a lot of people, and the funny thing is a lot of people don't seem to know what that means. You know what I mean? Like, you want them to develop, but then the next day you want to trade anybody. How you going to develop if you continuously want to trade anybody, man? We have such a fickle fan base, bro. Like, bro, with a fan base like ours, who needs enemies? I've said that many times. With a fan base like ours, who needs enemies?
When we have ourselves. So look at yeah, I want development, but I'm gonna tell you this right now. A lot of people are saying the clean house. That is not development. That's actually trashing.
That's a step back. Why would you want to do that? That makes no sense to me. A lot of people keep saying fire the coach. Like, why would you fire the coach, bro? For who? I always ask that question. For who?
Listen, cleaning house in our track record, as much as Knicks fans have been hurt, they seem to forget the pain that has caused the hurt for some reason. The reason why we've been hurting for so much is due to the fact of firing multiple coaches throughout a span of, like, I don't know the numbers. I should look at the numbers for that. How many coaches we've been through for, like, the past 8 years.
Dude, look at it this way.
What has that gotten us?
If we keep Thibodeau next year, I think he'll be the longest tenured coach in a while. Because think about it. Mr. Magoo, how long did he last? Like a season and a half?
Did he finish the season?
I think he did like a season and a half, if I'm not mistaken. And Mike, a season and a half. Because I think Mike, what was his name? Mike Williams? I forgot the coach's name. He was a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Totally forgot his name. But he took his spot after Mr. Magoo got fired.
Yeah, so...
And then we bought Tibbs and then after that, if I'm not mistaken.
So, yeah, the Knicks aren't a pretty team, man. But they're not nothing to really get your blood boiling about. Like, yes, the way they lose is really stupid at times. Like, it's really dumb how they lose. They can't
Especially the way we lost to the Mavericks, bro. That was horrible.
They can't lose properly. You know, it's always got to be some next level... You know,
godlike.
Like, oh my God, if you just missed this moment, it was the greatest moment in NBA history.
Yeah. It always has to be that. That's just how it is. It always has to be that way.
But that doesn't mean we're doing bad. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't, you know, it I feel like that outshadows how much good we've done so far. You know
what it is, bro? It's the cool thing to overreact to the Knicks. That's just what it is, bro.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them though. That's the thing, because like, who wouldn't overreact to what Luka did? Who wouldn't overreact to that?
I mean,
I don't blame you for that, but it doesn't mean
it's Luka. The way I see it, it's Luka. So that's why I'm not too mad. I'm shocked that it happened. Don't get it twisted, but I'm not shocked that Luka Doncic did that. Now, if Tim Hardaway did that,
okay. Yeah,
then that'd be a different story.
Pandemonium.
Then I'd be like, all right, we're gonna have to talk about management, because Tim Hardaway should not be doing this. But Luka Doncic did it. So, like, that's not too shocking to me. It's just the way it transpired that was shocking, because we blew a 9-point lead with 33 seconds left. That was the shocker of it. The triple-double 60-20, I could give a fuck about. We blew a 9-point lead
in 33 seconds.
That's the shocker to me, in my opinion. I can congratulate the great performance, and like, personally, like, how, when's the next time you're gonna see that?
Thanks for like driving the knife deeper.
I'm just being real, bro. Like,
I would
much rather
you just took the knife.
Listen. Yeah, it hurt that he did that to us, but I would much rather give credit to that and focus on the fact that we blew the damn lead. Because that's where the problem lied. Yeah. Him doing what he did, that's Luka shit. He just did historic Luka shit.
The fact that we let it happen
and I curse too, I'm sorry.
I'm not gonna lie, I said it. It's hard. It's hard not to curse as a Knicks fan. I feel like it's just part of your vocabulary.
Yeah, like, I think y'all now is we trying to cut down on the curses, because I know, like, we may have kid fans out there and we're trying to be a little more kid friendly.
Trying to be humble.
Yeah, you know, so if any kids heard that, any parents who let their kids watch this, we apologize. We're really trying hard. It's just frustration.
It's frustrating. No, okay, look, see, this is okay. This is what I mean by the frustration. It's frustrating to be a Knicks fan at times. But that does not mean, like, failure doesn't mean the end. Like, everyone loves to say that. Like, any motivational video that you ever see, anything that has to do with motivation or sports, failure never means failure. You know, everyone.
I mean, let's be real. We are headed in the right direction. It's not like, you know what, bro? Like, I'm still, again, I've said this many times. I am still sticking to my 44 win prediction, and we will get there. It even looks like it, dude. Yeah, we're 500 right now. Are we 500? We're 500 right now, right?
We're above. We're one game over.
One game. Look at that. We're one game over.
And we're only right now, we are just to date this, we are just talking about like how the year has gone so far from 2022 transferring into 2023. We are currently eighth in the division and one game over 500.
So we're in the play-in. We're not in the in.
But we're still it's weird right now with the standings. We're still a run away from like fifth seed. So
yeah, like a two or three, you know what I mean? Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like I don't understand with the whole gloom and doom attitude with Knicks fans, yo. Like y'all crazy, crazy.
They pulled an 8-game one. I'm not saying they're gonna pull an 8-game one again, but what makes you think that one will go on like a 4-3? You know, constantly like win three, lose one, win three, lose one. That's fucking
there's gonna be
great.
More. There's gonna be more streaks. Might not be 8-game streaks, but there's gonna be more streaks. We might even have more losing streaks. It's just the way the season's gonna roll.
It's called development, Stevie. Hello.
Yeah, you gotta like, what do y'all want? Y'all want to develop or y'all want to trade everybody for a star?
And then guess what? If you trade everybody, you know what's crazy? People don't even want to trade for a star. They just want to trade for more young players. Like, that's gonna be more development.
Yeah, the whole trade Randall for a bag of chips. Remember that conversation?
Oh my God, Dorito chips. Not even the Cool Ranch. It was the red ones.
People were saying that dumb shit, dude.
Oh my God.
Randall about to be an all-star again. All that chit chat y'all think talking about Randall, he on the verge of becoming an all-star, dog.
Yo, bro.
Hey, y'all want to trade him. Y'all crazy. Knicks fans are wild, bro. Like,
why would you want to trade?
You don't deserve A players. As much as we need A players, you don't deserve A players. How about that?
Okay, so okay, I'm not done. Look, we're just getting started.
Oh, there's more.
This is the tip of the iceberg. Now we're gonna get into some real shit because a lot of people don't. Oh my God, I cursed again. Oh my God.
Man, we cursed like 5 times this episode. I counted it. But that's all right, bro. You gotta make progress. It's all good.
This is development. this is our development. See, we gotta fail. We gotta fail. See, we're failing so far. We have to fail.
We're flying colors too.
We have to fail to succeed. Okay. All right. So this is the main man because not a lot of people blame so much the players. Oh, this man gets the heat of it all. This man's seat is super hot. I mean, flaming hot Cheetos. Like, what are those Tostitos, right? Those, I hope I said that right. Oh my God. Flaming hot.
I don't know
hot.
What you're talking about, but I'm just agreeing.
The chip.
I'm just going with it.
Yo, Tom Thibodeau.
Why?
His seat is so flaming hot right now.
Why?
I'm not saying from me. I'm just saying around the world right now.
I'm saying why? Again, okay. For who? You fire him and replace him with who?
All right, wait.
Who is going to take the Knicks to the level that Tom Thibodeau has it?
Wait. I got you. Listen. I'm going to start with the cons. Just to stimulate the majority of the Knicks fans, all right? Because I see that everybody just loves negative shit. And
yeah, yo, like, what is it with y'all, yo? Like, why do y'all strive for negativity, dude? With all the positives on this team, you know what I mean? I'm not saying there's no negatives. Yeah, there's negatives, bro, but there are so many positives to look forward to with this team. And we have movable pieces. What are you mad about? And another thing, we were supposed to be here. We were supposed to be worse than this. Everybody was predicting us to be worse than this. Why are y'all mad?
What was Vegas, 37?
Yes. Bro, where we at? Wait, hold up.
We 19-18.
Bro, we're halfway to that.
It's gonna be a tough schedule though, not for nothing.
It's gonna be, really? Did you bring that up? Let me go look at that.
It's gonna get tough getting forward. But okay, look it.
Say what you're saying. I'm gonna go look at the schedule.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, Tom Thibodeau, right? I'm gonna start with the cons. Tom's biggest problems are his minute distributions, his rotations, his offense, and his situational awareness.
Agreed.
So to point out, no one on the Knicks is in the top 25 for minutes per game. So that doesn't mean, not one player on our team has one of those high ranking minutes with the All-Stars, which is good, right? Because people say that Tom Thibodeau pounds his players into the dirt pretty much. So, but here's where the problem lies though. We are ranked fifth in teams minute per game. So that means he's pumping up minutes to only a certain amount of players. So like three of our players have like 30 minutes. So that's Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and
most likely RJ
Barrett. And then quickly follows with like 26 minutes. Mitchell follows with 26 minutes and then quickly follows with 25 minutes. So that's due to the 9-man rotation, right? So, okay, we're not going to lie. The 9-man rotation worked. It did its thing, right? It was very effective. Now, with everything, it had its kink. Now, the main kink is the endurance and the stamina that it takes to run a 9-man rotation. It's clear as day that it's wearing these guys out 100%. So that means, so this falls back into one of Tom Thibodeau's other problem is his situational awareness and his ability to adjust to things. So when someone's tired, with the Cam Reddish thing, no one really knows what's going on with the Cam Reddish thing. I thought he would be gone by this point. The fact that he's not, I think we should just use all hands on deck, bro. I don't know what we're holding out on with him.
I could agree with that.
Fournier did his thing against who did he play against? Who did he come in? He came in, I think it was the Spurs.
Yeah, unfortunately we lost that one, dude. We could not stop the three in that game for some reason. Like, I don't know.
But dude, because you got Evan Fournier, my guy. Like, what do you have Cam Reddish and
but
you
he was well, you look yeah, that's past true, Cam, too. That's true. That's true.
You look past Cam Reddish and he was like, yo, bro, Evan Fournier, let's go. That was weird, man. That was weird. Like, I like Tibbs, but he's weird. We're gonna get through the cons. Okay, we're gonna get through the cons. That's one, right?
He actually does just not said the cons.
No, there's more. So
more cons?
Yes, there's more. So his offense needs work. He has no that motion offense that he runs makes me sick to my stomach. I cannot stand having the guys on the top of the key running back and forth, just doing that little, that little handoff thing, and they just run around.
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, the Harlem
Globetrotters.
Yes. They need a.
I know. I feel you. I feel
the,
you. I
the circus. The the circus music. You know what I mean? But listen, okay, it's not all bad though. I'm gonna tell you why. Because we're actually having progress with, because we're over 500, so obviously there's something good going on there. The thing that Tibbs needs as of right now is just a consistent shooter. If we get one consistent shooter, this offense will go from, I think we're ranked eighth in offense efficiency. So, we can easily bump that to 6 or 5. I'm not saying we're gonna be the greatest, but if our offense is at 8 now with the with the little sick ass motion that he has, imagine if we added a shooter to this. And that's somebody I actually heard, because there's Pacer rumors going around. There's people saying we might get Toppin for Buddy Hield.
That's who they're trying to trade Toppin for?
I heard some rumors on that one.
Buddy Hield. I always liked Buddy Hield too. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I liked Buddy when he was in college. He killed when he was in college. I mean, I can't lie. He is a sniper on the outside. He would help in that department. Only thing I don't like about it, honestly, is his contract. That's the only problem I have with him. He might cut into the flexibility. But I guess for now that's hearsay, so I can't really say much about it. So I guess that'll be my opinion about it for now. Like I said, I do like Buddy Hield.
I think we have enough players that add up to that salary cap that we don't use really to get Buddy Hield and assets.
So like OBN Fournier type shit?
Yeah, Evan Fournier, Reddish.
Cursed again, bro. Evan Fournier, Obi Toppin. You know what? Trade machine.
Put
give it a try. Toppin. I got it. Hold up. I got you right there. Let's do this.
And IQ. So while he does that, let's
IQ.
Get into
IQ. Wait, whoa.
We're trading IQ? No IQ. I'm sorry. I bugged out with that one. No IQ. Okay. No IQ. My fault.
Yeah, bro. Did we talk about that like last week or the week before?
That's my fault.
We gotta rethink that.
No,
been chilling lately.
He's been bugging out. He's been going crazy. But okay, let's get into the good with Tid like, while Stevie does that. So we are currently ninth in defense. And we are currently, I'm sorry, I said eighth earlier. We are currently 10th in offensive rating. So as bad
still
as
good. Still good.
As bad as our quote unquote offense is, we are still a top 10 team in offense and we are a top 10 team in defense. Obviously the defense part is obvious because of Tom Thibodeau. So like it or not, Tom Thibodeau has been a big help. And not to mention, the number one thing I love about Thibodeau right now as this coach is that I love the culture that he has brought to this team. The identity that he has branded the Knicks with is exactly what the Knicks always were. To be honest, smash mouth basketball, hard nosed defense, and you're gonna come to the Garden and you're gonna be tight. You're gonna look at the schedule. You're gonna be like, who we play today? The Knicks? Like, F. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna be a team you're gonna hate to play against. Even if you win, you're gonna walk out there like I'm not gonna lie, the Mavericks, they walked out with their they won, but look what it took for them to win. You know what I mean? Look what it took for them to win that game. And they played our bench. We didn't have Brunson and we didn't have Barrett.
We had him that game, but he got hurt. He got hurt in the beginning of the game.
He played 1 minute.
That's the game he got hurt. That's the game he got hurt.
Yeah.
Technically we didn't have him.
So we didn't have, and we still took these guys all the way to the stretch. Yes, I would have loved to close it, but I just gave you everything as to why we didn't close that game. We got the minutes going on. These young guys are tired, you know, but they, you know, this, of course they're going to get tired. It's not their fault. You know, they have to step up to the plate. So in order to step up, they have to go through this, you know, and look who they went through it with. Luka, like Stevie said, that's not the guy you want to do your training with. He's going to do it to you. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's like only one of the top five players in the league. So
he might be arguably
maybe even
the best.
Top three.
No, I heard he's arguably the best player right now in the NBA.
I give that to the Greek Freak. Still, I give that to Giannis.
I don't know, bro.
I give that crown to Giannis still. That's his. You got to take that crown from him, man. Nobody's taking that from him yet.
Oh, because of his championship. That's why.
No, not even that. He had the best player crown before. I think he took the crown the year before he won the chip. That's just my opinion. You know what I mean? Not to say nobody's close. He doesn't have it like, you know, I know we're a little off topic, but since we're talking about it,
yeah.
I'm not saying nobody's close to him. Because there are people that could, like, because Luka's not that far off. Luka's not that far off at all.
I think he's closer than ever.
Yeah, at this point in time, I would say so. But I still think Giannis got it. But the trade worked. Evan Fournier and Obi Toppin for Buddy Hield. Salaries work out. Buddy Hield's contract is actually not as bad as I thought it was. It's actually off the books next year.
So that's it. We get him for the 1 year and then the re-sign. Maybe we can work something out.
Or he's an asset for another move.
That too.
Who knows, man? I'm not quick to give up Obi Toppin, but I don't know, man.
It's like, who's the better asset in this trade? Like, let's say we were going to get like a star player. Would you want to get rid of Obi or Buddy Hield?
That's true. Somebody would take that call. I mean, either way, you know what I mean? Somebody, Obi Toppin would be an asset, but Buddy Hield would also fill up a need, you know what I mean?
And immediately.
He would definitely fill up a need. He could back up or start. You know what I mean? You can intertwine him and Quentin Grimes would be a good little rotation of shooting guard.
And we need shooting, man. We need shooting. We need it
and
bad.
Have IQ back up. But damn, that would take away minutes from Deuce.
But here's the thing with Thibodeau, though. Here's the problem, though. How is he gonna spread these minutes around? You know what
I
mean?
That's what I'm saying. That would take away minutes from Deuce. I guess that would mean another deal would be imminent, hypothetically speaking, of course.
Because I feel like that's Tib's biggest problem in all this is the minute distribution, like I just talked about. Like, how can he? Because I feel like he needs to spread the minute. Like, it's good that he's trusting. Because people say he didn't trust the young guys, and most of it, there's none but young guys on this team, and most of them are averaging over 18 minutes a game. So, you know, he's trusting the young guys. So he just needs to figure out, you know, what to do to fix the. Because this is what I'm scared of. I think he's taking the hard route. I think he's literally forcing these guys to play through it. And I can't really say there's nothing wrong with that, because people like Michael Jordan would be like, what's wrong with that? That's like, Michael Jordan will probably love Thibodeau. You know what I mean? Michael Jordan loves that kind of stuff. So, but not everybody's built like that, unfortunately. So, you know, could Thibodeau maybe, you know, figure out a different way, or do you think he should keep the same, you know, kind of hard nose?
I think he's good the way he is, man. Like, because not for nothing, like, yeah, he has his negatives, but in certain games he fixes those negatives. He's just real inconsistent with the negatives. If he was more consistent with them, because he has those games where he makes great coaching decisions and we like, wow, why doesn't he do this every game? You know what I mean? He has those moments. He just has to have those more often. You know what I mean? Like, the good thing about him is he believes in his players. And as a coach, you can't ask for anything more. That's what a coach is supposed to do. If he leaves you in that game for a lot of minutes, that means he believes in you. The dude believes in Randle. You know what I mean? He believed in Randle when we all hated him. And look what Randle's doing now. He's killing. So, you know, there's some to him. Despite those negatives, like, you have the pros and the cons, which is cool. So you showed some unbiasedness. But I personally choose to stick to the pros. If I had to make a choice, I'm sticking to the pros. Firing him at this point in time would be a bad move. Now, but again, I predicted 44 wins. We don't make the playoffs. I'm not saying we have to fire him. But the potential is there. A decision would have to be made. Is all I'm saying.
I agree. I listen. I like Tibbs. I don't think we should fire. I don't think he's. We're not saying that we should fire him. Maybe down the road. We're just saying he's not that kind of coach that we just throw away like trash in the middle of the season. Tom Thibodeau is a very smart coach. He's very
accomplished coach at that.
He's a very well-respected coach amongst his peers. You know, he has playoff experience.
Success. You can say it. He has playoff success, even though he didn't win a championship.
You know, so, you know, Thibodeau, he's a very smart guy. He turned his team around from Mr. Magoo. Like, he took something. He made something from nothing. You know, he had a bunch of young guys. He literally stepped out of his comfort zone. He literally, you know what I mean? He took the challenge. And he did it in New York. You know how many people would just run away from that kind of job, especially in the state that they were in? No mere man can take that kind of responsibility and do what he did. In 2 years, he took us to the playoffs.
Exactly, dude. Like, the whole fire Tibbs bandwagon, I can't rock with that, bro. I can't rock with that one. If you can name me a better replacement, then I might hear you.
But like I said, the season needs to finish, though. We are not getting rid of Tibbs mid-season. He does not deserve that.
So y'all gotta have to deal with that. Tibbs is here to stay at least to the end of the season. Y'all just gonna have to deal with that.
He does not deserve that. He doesn't. There's no shot.
Throw the hashtag. Stop hashtagging it. Throw it away. You can feel free to dream about it, but it's not happening. That's just the truth.
There's no shot, man. Really, you can't really, like, I get it. It has been up and down a lot. But you also got to remember that the kind of players he has, he doesn't really have much. We're an average team. You know what I mean? So he's really just using what he got to the best of, and I feel like to the best of its ability at this point.
And dude, you fire him now, that'll be a PR nightmare, bro.
Exactly. You want more stress on your hands? Like, I don't get it. Do you like?
Yeah, dude. Like, and look at it this way: you fire him. How you think that's gonna look for the organization?
Who would want to come here?
At least right now, we look like a stellar organization headed in a direction. You fire somebody now, you're taking steps back. You have, and the funny thing is, you don't know how many steps back until you get to like maybe the next season or the following season. You know what I mean? That would be the Phil Jackson effect. Us hiring Phil Jackson took us a few steps back. You chop the tree down now, you don't know the ramifications of that. You're gonna have to ride this out, y'all.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, this is what being a fan's all about. You got it. If you cannot take the heat, get out the kitchen. That's it. As simple as that. You know, we gotta fight with these guys. Look at, we're not, and I don't want this to be confused with complacency. We're not complacent. We do understand that things need to be made, because we literally just said we're not against firing Thibodeau. We just don't think it's the greatest idea to do it mid-season. Or this season at all, because it so far we're still over 500. So if this continues, I don't see why other reason to get rid of him. Maybe in order, because okay, look it. If Thibodeau keeps us neutral, obviously there's gonna have to be something that gives, you know, because you can't stay neutral forever. You gotta win. So, like I said, if a better option comes along, so be it. But until that time, Thibodeau is staying and keeping his neutral. His neutral state. If we have to stay neutral for five more years, three more years, so would you want to take that than being the worst team in the NBA for years?
And taking the chance of tanking and not getting the first pick, like we always do. You know what I mean?
And then the like team's gonna.
You know what it is? Y'all want to make the same mistakes over and over and over again, man. Like y'all gotta, bro. We're taking a new direction, and. If you fire the coach now, it's the same old Knicks. The same old Knicks, just with a different front office.
So, look, I gave y'all the pros and cons. So, y'all do what y'all must with that. That's all real facts. We're dropping gems on y'all because we just want y'all to really open your eyes and your mind and understand the situation at hand. Exactly, Stevie. You know, and the situation at hand is not, like Stevie loves to say, gloom and doom. It's not gloom and doom. It's not at all. You know,
remember,
everybody,
dude, like I said, we were supposed to be much worse than we are now. We're in the playoff hunt. I saw it coming personally because I had us at 44 wins, but y'all didn't. Well, let me not say y'all, but a lot of y'all didn't.
You want to know what imploding means? Imploding means when Trae Young fights with his head coach and potentially wants out of your organization. That's imploding.
You know what's funny? When they knocked us out of the playoffs, they were supposed to be the ones on the way up.
Oh, they are on the way down.
It's funny how a year and some change can change things. Is all I'm going to say.
And we should be grateful. We are ungrateful for what's happening right now. Super ungrateful.
Exactly,
because
dude.
Because we have it good. We have it good right now. So
and you notice something, too? There's no drama. If you really silence Knicks fans... There's no drama with this team. It's mostly the fans complaining.
You mean like in the networks and stuff like that?
Yeah. There's absolutely no newsworthy drama with this team. The only newsworthy drama with this team was Luka's 60-20 triple-double. But that doesn't even classify as drama. It was just somebody going off on us.
What's new, right?
Yeah, that's not drama. There's usually drama with this team. The last drama we had was the thumbs down. And that wasn't even that much drama. That was nothing.
Yeah, you said you didn't really take offense to that.
Yeah, that was nothing.
It was crazy. As soon as we dropped that episode, it was a big fucking deal. Like, oh, that's cursed again. Damn it. It was
at least I didn't say an F-bomb.
I know, I said that. It was a big deal. You know, and It just flew. It just ran with it. I said it was 50-50. I knew. Look, I was with you, but I knew what the fan base was going to do with that. I knew exactly.
Of course. I knew exactly. We overreact to everything, bro.
I knew exactly what was gonna happen. Yo,
I thought New Yorkers were tough, man. Like, what happened?
But look at the same time though, we're not making fun of anybody. We understand the frustration. We are Knicks fans as well. We're just encouraging you to deal with it differently. You know, just think about it in a different way. You know, is the cup half empty or half full? You know, we're trying to get you to think it's half full. So
they want us to be the Golden State Warriors overnight. We don't have Steph Curry. We don't have Klay Thompson. You know what I mean? We got good players, but they not them.
You know what's the craziest, craziest thing ever? The fan base and the people around me are the ones that convinced me to hop on the development train. And now that I'm on the development train, everybody wants to get a star. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, I can't lie. I wouldn't mind a star because we have the tools to develop and get a star at the same time. Because remember, bro, we have our young players locked in. RJ's locked in. Mitch is locked in. I assume somewhere down the road we're going to give Quickly a good deal. He's not a max player, but we'll probably give him a good deal. Julius is locked in. He's playing all-star ball. Brunson is locked in. We got guys locked in. We got a core. And we got young developing prospects. Like, we can make things happen. We got flexibility, bro. Our cap's kind of messed up at the moment, but it can be fixed. It's not like unfixable. We're not like we're not in cap hell like we used to be. At one point, I know y'all remember early in the 2000s, after Ewing and all them was gone, we was in cap hell. That was cap hell. We not in cap hell right now. We can make a few moves and we'll be right back in action. So,
Leon, we're good. A lot of people hate Leon Rose too. He's another one. People hate that, you know, his decision making, and people think, you know, he's like, you know, it's a lot of conspiracy theories with him with the AA or the what was it, the CAA. The CAA.
I see no problem with that either. People stick to what they know.
And it builds chemistry, especially when you work with, like, why wouldn't you want to work with your best friends?
It's not even that.
Sometimes it's not the greatest thing, but...
You know what I mean? But, like, if you know people that get things done, you're going to ride with your people. That's just how it works. You know, LeBron does it. He got his squad.
The Banana Boat Boys.
Yeah, so I don't see why Leon Rose can't do it.
Listen, okay. With all that being said, we're just going to read off the stats as for the team for last year's performance. I'm running with that, last year's performance. Even though it's the same year. But okay, so as of right now, the Knicks are currently 19-18, one game over 500, currently sitting eighth in the division. Your opinions on that, Stevie?
You mean in the Eastern Conference?
Yes.
I mean, we're not that far off from the other team, so I think we're in good position. We weren't supposed to be here. 44 okay. Wins. I'm still gunning with the 44 wins.
Okay. As a team, we're shooting 34% from three, 46% from the field.
Well, the 34%, I think, should improve, but it has improved from where it was in the beginning, so progress is good. I'll give them that. Free throws has been up and down. We started rough. Then we started doing good, and now we back to missing free throws for whatever reason.
Free throws have been a big problem, bro. Now, the 34%, I think we stay like that until we actually find a consistent shooter. I feel like that whole finding a shooter play can really take that 34% to, like, 36, 37.
And that will make a big difference.
Yeah. So
that would actually bring us up in the standing. Dude, if we were shooting 37% as a team for the season, we'd probably have maybe three more wins. And that's just that's just me, like, throwing crap at the wall, taking a guess. See, yeah, I caught myself.
We're learning.
See, we developing. See? You see that, Knicks fans? Development.
It's happening right in front of your eyes. Now, it may be this is how development works. It may be easier for him to develop than me. I tend to curse a lot, so it's going to take me a while.
You know what's crazy? I actually curse way more than he does. So for me to develop, that's kind of crazy.
So let's see. From here on out, Knicks fans, for every curse word, I'm not even going to put myself in debt. I'm going to put myself in debt. Never mind.
You know what we do for every curse word? I got an idea, and we can do it since you curse a lot, so you won't put yourself in debt. every time we curse, we put a quarter in the jar, and at the end of the year, we donate it to the food bank.
Valid.
You know what I mean? It's something crazy, you know what I mean? Like, do it for a cause. We cursing on purpose, though.
It's a, no, no, I can't.
Like, to feed the hungry. Don't go ham one episode. Like, you
so
know
maybe,
what?
So maybe,
and throw so, F's and S's
so,
and...
So maybe we shouldn't make it so positive then. Maybe isn't it supposed to prevent us from? So
you
want to
do something negative?
Yeah, like if we curse,
we feel go a puppy.
Like, you know? No, like every time, like we could do the quarters, but like we just throw it in a fountain or something. Like,
I'd much rather donate it.
Bro,
just throw it in the fountain. For what?
Because it
somebody
prevents
can eat. You can buy somebody a meal with that.
But it's supposed to prevent you from cursing. It's not supposed to, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
I understand, like, dude, but you're to throw it in a fountain? It's useless. Like,
so I'm not going to curse. It's going to make me not want to curse.
I guess. All right, you know what? I say we donate it to the food bank, but you're going to throw it in the fountain. I guess we discussed this at the end of the show. Kind of got off track here. Way off track.
Nah, that's funny, man. Okay, so like I said before, we are 10th in offensive rating, 9th in defensive rating. We are also first in the league in rebounds with a total of 1,744.
Yeah, no complaints about that. That's mostly Mitchell Robinson's doing. I mean, yes. Randall's too, because Randall's been killing on the boards, but Mitch, I said it last year. He has to improve on the boards, and specifically on the offensive boards. He's been going off.
I'm so proud of him, man. I'm so happy for him. He's really been. He just needs. Oh my god! If he could just have some offense on him, man. Oh, if he could just have like a little
something, right? Something, you know what I mean?
Like
a mid-range jumper, something.
There was times he posted up. I seen him do a one dribble spin move to the basket. I saw that once and it never happened again, which I'm very ashamed. Like, I'm very, you know, sad of. So, like, he needs to bring that back ASAP. I saw Jericho Sims shoot a jump shot once. I was like, whoa. he I think he airballed it, but so be it. He tried it.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have no complaints for that either. We are currently 7th in scoring.
Are we? Really?
Which is surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very surprising.
I'm surprised myself.
We are 7th in scoring with the quote-unquote no offense, right? So, again, all we need is a shooter.
And an A player. I still say we need an A player, bro.
Or I think the shooter...
I am taking that to my grave, bro.
I think the shooter should be the A player.
What if you get an A player and a shooter? I mean, if the shooter's the A player, that's killing two birds with one stone. I wouldn't complain, but I'm just saying, like, what if it was two separate players?
Maybe, right? Either way, the shooter needs to be here. The shooter and the A player.
Yeah, that's the point. Point being, we need a shooter and an A player. If it ends up being one person, cool beans.
Yeah, let him be the bridge between both worlds. But we just need it. We need shooting ASAP. Okay, so the Knicks' greatest fault is their offense as a whole, it seems like. So in the ranks of assists, we're ranked 21st overall. So
yeah, we play a lot of one-on-one ball, so I can see that.
Yeah, so the ball's not moving around as efficiently as it should be, especially with all the weapons we have acquired through the offseason, I feel like that's also kind of the main issue, right? But it's not an issue, it's a good problem to have, kind of. You know, we have Jalen Brunson going ham when we need him to, ATM cash money, so I have no problem with him going ham. Julius Randle's having an all-star year performance, looking like I wouldn't mind him going ham either. RJ Barrett is actually turning up situations. He's actually getting in the very hot kitchen, turning on the oven and whipping up the stove. He's doing amazing right now. So
yeah, he stepped it up from what he was doing in the beginning of the season, hard body.
Yeah, just he still needs to fix the shooting, but other than that, he's doing good.
He's playing good ball. He is.
He's doing good. So assists, Jalen Brunson, that's on you, even though you average, I think, like 7 assists.
Nah, he stepped it up.
He did.
As far as assists go, because remember I said when we signed him, he had to step the 3 assists up, and he has. So big shout out to him for that.
And not for nothing, quickly too. He just came off a 14 assist game I think it was against San Antonio.
Big time, big time. I didn't think he had that in him, actually, believe it or not.
Came in clutch for that.
Fist? Yeah. I didn't think Quickly had that in him.
Yeah. So, so if you average all that together, everything that we just said, we're pretty much a top 10 team in the NBA. In rankings.
I would say in the East more so. But yeah, we're up there. We're pretty good. We're not in a bad place.
So, you know, take this how you will. Knicks fans, Knicks Anonymous family, Knicks fans out throughout the world. You take this how you want. We're here just to give you our view on the world and the Knicks life. Listen, we're not here to change anybody. You know, you do what you want. But we highly encourage you to see things through the way we see things, because it's way healthier in terms of,
at least,
you know,
give it a try, dude.
It's just way healthier for your mental health. You know, like, you don't want to lose your mind at the age of, you know, whatever age you are, especially if you're a young Knicks fan. Like, you do not want to lose your mind at, you know, at the age of 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, young Knicks fans, you got a lot of life ahead of you, man.
Yeah.
Wait until you meet some hot female Knicks fans. So, yeah, keep your head right. I'm just saying, bro. I'm trying to keep shit positive. There I go cursing again.
Oh, there goes the river. Give me the quarter.
Where's the... All right, I guess I'm donating the first quarter.
But yeah, listen. Knicks fans, we love you guys. No matter if you're cruel, not cruel, you are who you are, and I accept that, you know? But I hope you can accept what we're talking about as well, because it's facts. You know, the Knicks are not in a bad place. If anywhere, we're in every position to go up. We have the assets to go up, and if we don't use the assets to go up, I feel like the assets that we have can develop into something to make us go up on the team without even trading them. Because, you know, I guess the elephant in the room in New York right now is the Cam Reddish situation, right? Like, what's the deal with him? So a lot of people are talking about politics. I'm not really sure how could politics actually, you know, do in this situation. I never heard anything about politics. I don't know if you have.
Beats me.
So a lot of people are saying that Tibbs just doesn't like him. He seems pretty happy on the bench. I mean, not to say that, not, I didn't mean it in that way, but like, I meant to, like, he's smiling on the bench. Like,
he had his Game Boy on the bench.
Yeah, like,
he had the bench playing his phone games.
Oh, that's right. I think someone called him out on that. Someone was tight.
No, he was? I was just joking.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Serious?
I think so. I could be talking.
I was just joking when I said that. That's real.
I could be talking crap, but I don't know. So let's just, that's nothing void. But so yeah, what do you really think is going on with the Cam Reddish situation, real quick? Because I feel like that's a big elephant that needs to be addressed.
I don't know, man. But at the same time, I don't think it's that deep as far as politics go into play. You know, like, what would be the motivation? Like, I hate Cam, so you're staying on the bench? Nah. I don't see that, man. Because when we needed him, we played him. You know what I mean? I understand it's shocking now because we did need him for this week in particular. He could have made a big difference. And it's weird we didn't use him. So I guess we're just... I guess the only answer I have is... trying not to injure him like before. I can't really think of any other reason.
Because, okay, it would have been different if they didn't play Evan Fournier and Cam Reddish. But what happened at the Spurs game was kind of sus to me, man. Like, it was kind of like, I'm overlooking you and putting Evan Fournier in, which is crazy to me, especially when we need it.
He does like vets more than the young players, though, just saying. So that's not too shocking. Despite the fact that he doesn't play defense.
Nah, it's shocking. It's shocking because Cam Reddish plays defense and, you know.
But again, he likes vets.
But he's been putting a lot of faith into the young cats, though. So you would think that he would go with Reddish.
I dig, man. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to make of this situation. I can't really.
I don't mind Knicks not making a statement on anything. But if I had to ask them about making a statement on something, I would definitely want to know what's going on with the Cam Reddish thing. Like, if you don't even have to tell me what exactly you're doing specifically, just tell me if you're making a move with him or you're just BSing around with his time. You know, just let me know. I want to know. Like, you know, we're assuming that, due to his injuries, we don't want him to get hurt because of the trade. But he's been on the team already for so long past the deadline. We thought he was going to be gone already by this point. You know, because...
We still have time to the trade deadline, so... There's no rush. Well, at least until the deadline gets here.
Listen, man, at the same time, I don't think it's anything to get really pushy over because, the 8-game winning streak was all without Cam Reddish. So, you know, the Knicks can definitely play without him. But we need depth. I don't know why I said debt. We need depth. And like we said, the 9-man rotation, it did work. But now it needs to be adjusted and tightened up because now it's showing you that these guys aren't physically capable of running a 9-man rotation back because basketball season is different from a lot of games. It's not every week. You're playing every other day. You know, you're playing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, doubleheader, Saturday, Sunday. Like, so it's no game. You know, basketball is, a lot of people say basketball is easy and, you know, stamina, this, that, and the third. But, yo, you got to take into account how close all the games are. So, you know, it's gonna take a lot for them. So either they work it out themselves, they go into the gym, work harder than ever, or, you know, what I think is that just Tibbs needs to figure out a way to distribute the minutes more evenly amongst others. You know, maybe run a 10-man rotation and have Reddish in there just coming through, you know, on like some 16-minute shit, you know, just to give you... I cursed twice and that's crazy.
It's 56.
I cursed twice in that one statement.
That's 75 cent like, the jar so far because I got one and you got two in one sentence. I should charge you $1 for that one.
That was a double. That was a twofer. No way.
That 75 cent going to the food bank. Somebody getting a can of soda.
No way, man. Yeah, that's right. I almost cursed again.
Matter of fact, Kansas soda ain't 75 cent no more. So you a quarter away from getting a can of soda.
I don't even think they're a dollar either. I think they're $1.25.
Okay, 50 cents away.
Yeah, it'd be like that. So, okay, so Knicks fans, I hope y'all learned something within that little, you know, that's the way we just started. So we're just going to quickly, that took us a minute, not for nothing. That's probably like 45 minutes of the show right there. So we're just going to quickly summarize the week of basketball, the Texas Triangle that we had going on. So
we went 1-2. Let's get that out the way.
And first game on that list is the none other historical game, Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, dude had a 60-20 triple-double. I said dude. Luka had a 60-20 triple-double. Hold on, I'm trying to get the stats up.
And, you know, the sad thing about that game is we really had full control the entire game. We outscored them 30-28 first quarter, 33-27 second quarter. We even beat them in the third quarter, 29-27.
But in the fourth quarter and overtime, they outscored us 44-29.
Horrendous.
That was the big difference. Luka dropped 60, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Randle had a great game, though. He had 29 points and 18 boards. We just couldn't close it. Simple as that.
You want to know why? You want to know why? You can't win games shooting 62% from the free throw line.
Yeah. Crazy.
We missed 9 free throws.
Which means we could have won this game.
Yeah, by a lot. I don't know why, but they kept getting Deuce McBride the ball for free throws. Tibbs has really got to work on who he trusts. Like, it's not that I don't trust Deuce McBride. But when you have Julius Randle and Emmanuel Quickley out there, you really want Deuce McBride to be the first option. I get what he's planning, probably. I get what he's thinking. Like, okay, no one's expecting him to get the ball. Well, yeah, that's the point. Because, hello, they don't want the best shooters to get the ball. So you got to, you know, that goes back to his strategy and awareness. You know, he's got to really figure out a way to get those guys the ball in those clutch situations. You know, Randle's not a good shooter at all, to be honest. So I could probably figure why he didn't want to pick him, but quickly shooting 90% from the free throw line, you know, sounds pretty good to me.
That game just didn't work out, man. It just didn't. We had it, we fumbled it. Here we are today.
You know, it's crazy. They didn't even attempt that many more We attempted more shots than they did. By 13.
I mean, dude.
We played good that game. That's the craziest part. Like, that was a good game, and we lost horribly. Like, that was a great game for the bench to really prove themselves. Like, Quentin Grimes was going off. I think Quentin Grimes had 30 points.
Yeah, but what concerned me about him is he had 30 points going into the fourth, and he took absolutely no shots.
He disappeared. He did disappear in overtime.
He took absolutely no shots. Then he disappeared against the Spurs the next game.
Oh, man. Yo, I felt bad watching. I felt bad for Randle, man. I felt so bad watching Randle play that game.
He was going off that game.
I know, man. But, like, you can really see on his face he was really doing everything in his power to really just carry. Because the Spurs had every answer. Every time we tried to cough up a run, they were there hitting a bucket, like, immediately after us.
Final score, Spurs 122, Knicks 115. Just to throw that out there. And Romeo Langford, for some reason, looked like a star. I don't know what's up with that, what happened. He's good. But the way he looked against us, he's not that good.
Listen, they shot 39% from the three. And then they shot 51% from the field.
Yeah, man, our perimeter defense sucked that game.
I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I'm gonna keep it 100%. I blame this loss on the Mavericks' loss. I think the Mavericks, because a loss like that can really hurt you.
It took the momentum out of them.
Yeah, like it could that could really do some damage, especially to a young team that hasn't experienced something like that yet. Because you can only imagine what these guys are going through, scoring 30 points, 20 points, and losing the way that they did. Like, they probably didn't, some of them probably didn't even sleep. You know, like, that's, oh my God, that's two. There's the soda. There's the soda. Oh my goodness. But, yeah, you know, so I blame this L on the Mavericks game, even though we did get kind of our butts kicked the entire way.
They wanted it more. That's the truth. The Spurs wanted it more than us that game. They were playing like the team with the identity, and they the ones playing for the lottery pick. Yeah. They wanted it more than we did.
But I feel like that's going to happen, you know, because any team that's cornered, you know, with their backs cornered is going to take advantage, especially smelling the blood after the Mavericks game. You know, any team would come into that game pretty confidently, and the Knicks probably were not. So, because if you really look at the game in the beginning, we were very lackluster. There was no movement. There was no energy at all. Like, the energy was, it just felt bad. You know, I felt Randle for this guy. Randle, man, I wanted to, like, shed a tear for this guy this game. Like, I saw him really putting passion into this game, and, like, it really looked like he was clapping for people. He was trying to motivate guys. Like, he was really putting himself into that leader role and trying to really hype the troops and get people going. He got Emmanuel quickly going. Yeah, Emmanuel quickly had 36 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists.
Damn. So, and we lost that game. That's crazy.
And we lost. That's another one. You know, Grimes had 30. We lost. Quickly had 30. We lost. You know, it's weird. But what makes it not weird is the fact we're missing three of our main players, Obi Toppin, Jalen Brunson, and RJ Barrett. You know, that's a big problem, because even with everybody healthy, the Knicks are still a team that's just a few games over 500. So if we lose those players, we immediately become 500 or worse, you know, naturally, because, you know, those are the guys that are helping us get to that point, you know. And for you to think otherwise, I don't know what you're thinking, like, you know. And this is the whole Evan Fournier situation. I feel like Cameron Reddish should have made a signing other than Evan Fournier, but Evan Fournier did go crazy. He had 11 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 or 6 from the field, 1 or 3 from 3.
That's a fact.
And he went a plus minus 9. Mostly for his defense. Grimes was a plus 8.
He ain't get no buckets that game. He ain't show up.
1 of 10, 1 of 6. Listen, If we don't get a shooter, we will get zoned until our lives are sucked out of us. All right? We need to figure out the zone, which is why the shooter is needed. If you zone Stephen Curry, Stephen Curry's having more than 60, what Luka had on us. I'm not saying we need Stephen Curry on our team. It's just the principle. If you leave any shooter in his zone, he will love you. He will make sure to write you a Christmas card and give you a thank you note. Because zoning a shooter is suicide. So we need a shooter to fix this problem right here that we have. So any other, you know, things you want to talk about for the Spurs game? Not really much to talk about. We got, is ass a curse word, even though I just said it anyway?
Yep.
All right.
So there you go. All right, so moving on to the Rockets. 108-88. Cool game. Reason being, it kind of looked like the Spurs game was going to happen again.
It was getting scary, man. I was scared.
You know what I mean? Because, like, for the first quarter and a half, the Rockets were hitting all their threes. They was high-fiving each other. Like, it was hype. Like, yeah. And then we took control to sum things up. Particularly Julius Randle with 35 points and 12 rebounds. So,
yeah, y'all really gotta be thanking for him, man. Y'all really gotta apologize. Because without Randle, this team would be, I don't know where this team would be, man.
Dude, even Quickly had a good game. Quickly was a plus 25. Shit. I mean, damn. It's 175, bro.
Bro, we're gonna buy lunch after this.
Yeah, Quickly had 27, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals. Quickly is dishing out a lot of dimes. And I know him to be more of a scorer. So to see him dishing out those dimes is pretty refreshing.
And still score.
Exactly. That's pretty refreshing, man. I want to see how he adjusts to his role off the bench when Brunson comes back. Like I'm wondering to myself, is this little bit of experience starting going to make him a better player?
I feel like, why not? Because it's only upping his minutes, so only upping his experience. Overall, though, this was a very ugly game. Neither team shot well. We shot 38% from the field. They shot 37. We shot 29% from the three. They shot 30% from the three. And then free throws, we had 71%. They had 69.
Why are we missing our free throws all of a sudden? You're like, what the hell's going on?
I don't know what's going on. You know what's crazy? The people that are supposed to be missing free throws are hitting them, and the people that were hitting them are missing. Mitchell Robinson, water from the free throw line. Jalen Brunson, he be bricking some. Randall always be bricking. RJ, oh my god, these guys are building community homes. So we need to figure out that situation. Turnovers, we're actually not that bad in turnovers, not for nothing. I think we're like 6th, 7th in turnovers.
Yeah, we take care of the ball for the most part. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about that.
Let's see. Next turnover.
Where we at?
They gave me how many they have overall. They have 508.
Damn, that's a lot of turnovers.
Yeah. But I don't think it's turnover ranking. NBA turnover ranking. Yeah, we're like 7th. We're 7th.
That's great. I'll take it.
7th. So we've definitely been taking the care of. So like everything's been improving. Again, Knicks fans, take it how you will. You know, take it how you must. Do what you must. But we're giving you everything good that can possibly go right, and everything is kind of moving to how it's supposed to be moving. Like how we said, Stevie said 44 wins. 44 out of what? That's 4 82. Games over.
That's 82 that's, games.
How many games over 500 is that?
What?
How many games over 500 3. Is that? 3. Okay. So that's 3 games over 500. I think I said 42. I said 42 or 43. I think I said 43. So we pretty much think we're going to be over 500 by the end of the season and possibly in a playoff seat. If we keep fighting this way and, you know, the way the standings are looking, we're always going to be one run away from actually pushing that threshold. So, you know, all we need is that player to get us through the playoffs, you know, because I think the first round is probably as far as we'll go. But that's saying a lot. If we can consistently make the first round, then, you know, that's good. It's just you can't stay there. You got to find what will make us push through. So, you know, but first we got to get there. So, you know, baby steps. Climb the ladder, development. Everybody's different in the way they develop. You know, this is how we're developing. You know, deal with it. Take it or leave it. What are you going to do? What can you do? So I think Knicks fans should stay Knicks fans and just enjoy the ups. Obviously, you know, talk about the downs, figure out what could go wrong. So yeah, I feel like that's good because that kind of enlightened me on something. Instead of talking about the obvious and how bad things are, why don't we talk about actually fixing it? You know what I mean? Like you're basically just talking about the obvious bad things that happen. Like why don't you just talk about, you know, what can you do to fix it rationally, of course, not trading the whole organization and especially not selling the team. You know, so I'm kind of glad some of y'all aren't the GMs or managers of the team. I don't think I'd be a Knicks fan.
Facts.
You guys say, Stevie?
No, I got nothing.
All right, bet. So, you know, that brings this episode to a close, man. Episode 82, New Year's special in the books.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I was done. You just expected me to say so?
Yeah, listen, I hope everybody had a great New Year's as always. We love you guys. Shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family. Follow us on Instagram. Everything down below in the description, links down below. Again, New York, listen, we're only here to help, okay? Do not shoot the messenger. We're only bringing stats, and the stats tell us that the Knicks are in a good spot at the moment. Not the best, not the worst. Good, all right? There is middle ground, you know. There's not always black and white. There's always a gray middle area, and we are in that gray middle area.
I just need to calm down, bottom line.
Yeah, you know, and you can move in any direction. You can move up or down. But the way the team looks and, you know, with the direction we're going in, with the identity that we have, I think we move up. I don't see any reason to go down. I'll tell you how we go down when we clean house. That's when you go down. That's how you get. That's
damn sure ain't going up.
Yeah, that's how you get there, for sure. So, listen, guys, I'm glad you guys came through, showed some love. Shout out to everybody who does show love. Shout out to everybody who copped some pins. We do have a couple more left. Get yours, though.
Orders are coming. We have an unusually good amount of We have an unusually good amount of traffic on the website. I'm actually surprised. We had more than what we were expecting. And I was expecting. Big shout out to you guys.
Yeah, man. Shout out for rocking with us as always. And yeah, as always, I am LJ.
Stevie in the building.
We are Knicks Anonymous, and we are the people's voice.
And we are nothing without you, the people.
The people. Shout out to Knicks Anonymous family universe. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Happy New Year's.